Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
How many of you ever battle with your thoughts? Okay, those of you who didn't raise your hands, you battle with other people's thoughts. So, because their thoughts usually tend to come out of their mouth. Anyhow, the Lord's very concerned about our mind, and He created us. And the mind is it's a wonderful thing. You know that. But we've had to, as Christians, we've had to go through a mind change. Do you know what a paradigm is? A paradigm is a concept or a pattern, a way of thinking by an individual, or it is shared in a community of people and that they agree upon it, the way that they live or think or do something. And that is a paradigm. For example, you grew up and you caught life concepts by the family you grew up in. Or maybe you didn't grow up in a family. Maybe you grew up at a children's facility or an orphanage. But as we grow up, we begin to collect thoughts. We begin to observe things. Some things we observe accurately, some things we observe to us it seems true, but we didn't understand it all, but we think we did. And so through life, we form these thinking patterns, or we were told something, or whatever the situation is, we just take in information, and now this is what we think. For example, let's drive this home a little closer to church. How many of you grew up in Assembly of God churches when you were a kid? Okay. Put your hands up high, please. This is fun for me. Just pause right. If you hold your hands up really high, if you grew up in Assembly of God church family, hold your hand up really high. This is great news. I'll tell you why. This is a very small percentage of representation of the total people in this room. Praise the Lord. Okay, not that, you didn't grow up in an AG church, praise the Lord. I meant that the gospel is, hey, dude, I recognize you. Your hair's gone. It looks good. Come here, I got to do this. Yeah, okay. And so we grow up things, for example, now, those of you who grew up in Assembly of God Church, now still being in Assembly of God Church, you haven't really had to change your mind about a lot of things about God, because things were shared with you in according to Assembly of God doctrine. And so you don't stumble over some of that stuff. But those who didn't grow up that way, for example, in that type of community, and now attend, you've had to go through what we call a paradigm shift or change. New things were shared with you, okay? And I'm just using that for an example. This is in all kinds of areas of our life. How many of you will admit that you have had to change your mind about some things in your life? Through time, you've had to change your mind. Right. Listen, nobody can change it for you. Nobody can change it for me or for you. If something comes along the way that we take in and we discover, I didn't completely understand, or I was wrong about something. And now we've had to go through a change of understanding, a change of mind. And that is a new concept, a new value. We do this in a variety of areas of our life. The interesting thing is that when Christ finds us and we respond to salvation, you know, old things pass away, and behold, all things are becoming new. And where we sometimes trip up and where we need the Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit so desperately to help us and counsel us through things, is that we believe in Christ, but our old thinking tries to come in on the salvation boat. And the thing is, the old thinking isn't necessarily matched to God's thinking. And we're trying to get in what into us what God thinks. And how God looks at things and how God decides to do things in our life. How do we do that? And that becomes such a challenge and such a difficulty because we believe in Christ, and yet if we still think the old way, we're still finding ourselves in the same troubles, and yet we say, I'm a Christian now, and where's your help, and why aren't you doing this, and I thought life was going to get better. And life is going to get better, but we can't just think, oh, I can bring all my old ways in and now I believe in Jesus and I'm okay. It's this process that we go through that is continual change. It's why Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, which is your spiritual worship. And he goes on in verse 2, and he says, therefore, don't conform to the patterns of this world any longer. In other words, that's the way we used to think and live. That was our paradigm. But don't conform to the patterns of the world any longer. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you would be able now to know what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Say this with me. I can actually know what God's will is. We can know. It's still sometimes a discovery process. But we can know it. If I will transform and renew my mind. Psalms chapter 1, it says this. You can turn there if you want. Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. I'll read it again because I went a little quick. I have to let some of you get to Psalms chapter 1. You didn't know I was going to go there. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law or his word he meditates. He thinks about it. He dwells on it. He whispers it to himself. He mulls it over. He applies it to his life or situation or circumstance. He does this when? Day and night. Not just, well, this is my Bible reading time, so I better read a couple of scriptures and think about it and pray and go through my list and then, okay, see you tomorrow. You know how a conversation you had with somebody, you're done with the conversation, you're on your way, and later that day, you're still thinking about what they said and what you said, and you're starting to get ideas off it or whatever's gone on, and you're starting to think about it. Or late at night, you've laid on your bed, okay, and hoping to sleep, but your mind was active going over things. That's what this man does. Blessed is that person who meditates like that on God's word, God's instruction, God's revelation, God's prophecy, God's promise, God's character, God's virtue. Blessed is the person who thinks about him and his ways. Before Christ, we didn't really think about that much. Our minds are amazing things, how he's made us. And it's important Our thoughts are very important to our salvation, to our ongoing walk with Him. Our thoughts are very important when it comes to faith. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 11. Basically, He said this. Whatever you believe will happen. Whatever you have faith for, that's what will be passed on to you. It's thoughts like this. We dream about something good happening. We get caught up in a daydream. And then we think, oh, if that could only be true. And then we do this. That'll never happen to me. That's just wishful thinking. I'm not talking about some outlandish things to feed our own carnality. I'm talking about the wishes of things in life that God can really do that would impact our life, maybe our family, maybe people around us, use us to be a blessing, whatever. And we just think, yeah, that'll never happen for me. Poor me, no good me, never works out. That thinking right there is death. There's no hope in it. There's no faith in it other than the faith that, well, what's already happened and the patterns in my life, that's just going to keep on happening. And because that's what you believe, that's what continues to come around for you and for us. Now you think, oh, wait, this is positive thinking message. Yeah. Positive thinking based upon who God is in His Word. Not running around thinking, if I just keep thinking this and I just keep thinking this, then it's going to happen. No, no. It's faith-based. It's that we believe. And we believe Him. And we trust Him. Blessed is the man who meditates and thinks upon God and His ways and looks at that and says, that has to impact my life. Consider, as you go through Scripture, consider when it talks about the blessed person and how they meditate or think about Him and what goes on in good times or bad times. Consider the state of the blessed man or the happy person. Consider their way. How they consider God's way. Matthew chapter 15. Jesus says it like this. That our thinking is very important. And what goes on between our ears. What we entertain here. So you thought positive thinking was a, you know, 20th century thing with Dale Carnegie and Zig Ziglar. But it wasn't. It had to all begin with God and God's thinking. Jesus talks about disciplining the mind, that we have to constantly audit it and examine it and take authority or control over our thoughts and where they're going so that we can live honorably and successfully in our faith. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 15. Let's start with verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to Him and said, listen, understand, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Let's jump down to 15. Peter said, explain the parable to us. Jesus says, are you so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. And it lists some of the things. He gives examples. Our thinking, our thoughts. They say, the scientists have discovered, that we actually have, on the average, about 60,000 thoughts a day. Most of them are random. For some of us, it's even more random. And most of them, they find out that a great percentage of people's thoughts are actually negative thoughts. They've discovered in the human brain that as you continue to think some of the same things over and over, that those thoughts have actually made physical grooves in your brain tissue. The mind has been made and has a tendency, it's an innate thing, for it to be repetitive. That's why in something as important as golf, they say muscle memory, your brain. If you practice what's right, and you just practice what's right, and you practice what's right, it's muscle memory. It's the same thing. It's why if you practice the wrong thing over and over, that's what you remember. And to change it, it takes conscious thought to do something different. It's with anything in life. It's this memory, and it's these grooves, it's this repetitive thinking. And here is Paul saying, hey, if you're a Christian, don't conform any longer to the grooves in your brain and the way you were thinking before. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind or your thinking, so that you are now able in this new faith to be able to understand what God's will is for you, what God's will is in His written word, what God's purpose is for us in a circumstance or situation. See, thoughts become actions. We all know that. And actions, if they're carried out and they become these repetitive thoughts, they become actions, and then these actions, they move to a stage they call habits. And after it becomes a habit, it basically becomes a pattern of our life. Now, here's the good news, is that we can be transformed, and we don't have to conform to those patterns anymore. We do not have to conform to those patterns of our thinking any longer. We don't have to. Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, He wants to help me, help you, help us. And it takes auditing. It takes examining. It takes arresting. It takes intent and will and choice to arrest those thoughts. See, thoughts, because of this repetition and this, we can call it a flow. Have you ever, we've had a lot of rain recently. I don't know if you've stood by a window where it's gotten rain droplets all over it. And then, of course, because of this wonderful thing called gravity, a droplet will begin to run down the glass. Okay? A little droplet coming down the window. And then it kind of picks up other droplets on the way. It's like some droplets almost just like suck over to it. And they begin to collect. And this droplet becomes a group of droplets, and they begin to come down. And before long, it looks like a little rivulet. Let's say stream. That's easier to say. It looks like a stream. And it makes its way. And the more droplets that get there and gather, the faster it begins to move down the window. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this? You haven't seen this? I'm going to pray for rain. No. Yeah. And it comes down, and it begins to take a path with least resistance. I want you to know that's what our thoughts are like when they go unexamined, unarrested. You have this little thought, and this negative thought, it just starts to collect other negative thoughts. And all of a sudden, it forms and it just begins to flow, and it begins to, and it just starts moving quicker and quicker. And we just let our mind go. We let our minds go with the flow. You know what I'm talking about. You have one negative thought. You're maybe getting dressed in the morning. You got this negative thought going on or something like that. And then you think about, yeah, and probably, and then you add another negative thought to it, and then and all of a sudden it's just going. And here's the thing. You didn't get up or come out of the shower and get dressed and think, well, now I'm going to have my negative thought time. I'm just going to, right now, I'm going to purpose. I got to really try to have a negative thought. No, you just get out of the shower, dry off, you go over to dress, and you're just going through the motions of getting ready for your day, and this stuff's just coming. And then you start adding to it as it captivates your attention. Blessed is the man who meditates, thinks about God and God's ways day and night, that we apply his thoughts into what we face, that we, like Paul wrote, said, you know, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, I'm going to take that thought and take it captive, take authority over it, and put it, you know, in a prison, never to come out and play again. They've discovered something about meditation, too, and us. That meditation is one of the hardest skills for a human to learn. Psalm 46:10, I think it is. Is it Psalm 46:10? Maybe I wrote it there. Yeah, it is. Psalm 46:10. It says, you don't have to turn there. You can if you want. It says, be still and know, think, know, that I am God. You know the tough part of that? It's the be still part. It is the be still and know that he is God. Be still. You ever sit down to be still? Or to sit down or kneel down to pray? How many of you have ever daydreamed in prayer? Okay, there's a few of us honest people. Yeah. All of a sudden, thoughts just come from nowhere. And then you go, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I was thinking about, huh? Or you just go guilty, like, why am I even praying? All I was doing, you know what? Be still, fight through it, and know that he's God. Think about him. Think about his ways. Think about his ways in the midst of your life, your circumstance, situation. What does he think? What is he saying? What is he instructing? What is he convicting? What is he doing to give us hope? I've got to let go of all the old stuff or negative stuff. And I got to step in on what God is thinking and what God can do. Because if I do that and I begin to understand it and I begin to believe it, wow. Wow. The church could be dangerous to the darkness. Right? If we started to believe it, transform our thinking to the point that we believe, not in concept, but we believe also in practice, that it's not just some paradigm mental assent shift, because the counterpart to the paradigm shift is not only does it change concept or change value, that when we begin to think and believe that, it begins to change the way that we live. That's why James writes something so simple like, faith is really dead if there's no works to go along with it. We can say we've transformed the renewing of our mind because we think different. But if we just think different and it doesn't move us to action, then we really don't believe what we're thinking. That's what he's saying. Jesus dealt with negative thoughts. You know how he dealt with them? By knowing Scripture. And by praying. Do you remember some of the things that came across his way, like when he was being tempted? Those were negative things trying to take him away from who he was and the purpose he came for. And he fought it because he knew God's word. He meditated on God and knew God's word. Right? He fought it also as he prayed to the Lord and talked with the Lord and listened to his father. You know another way that he fought it? Is he also had, which was, by the way, was a very interesting support group, but he opened himself up to relationships. His disciples. We've got to open ourselves up for relationship with believers. Yeah, we do. We're supposed to spur one another on in love and good deeds and in faith and encouragement and listening and speaking God's word and psalms and hymns to spiritual things to one another. Also, that's what they did. Look, they're walking through the countryside. It wasn't always just in front of the crowd. And we get the privilege of insight of some of their conversations. That they were talking about the Father and kingdom principles. And what did that do for these disciples who were in the process of not conforming to the brain grooves and patterns of before, but being transformed by their continual renewing of their mind that Jesus, crucified, dead and buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, and now the good news gospel of Jesus Christ is left in their responsibility with the help of the Holy Spirit, and now it is spread around the world through generations and generations and generations. They went through that process. So what I want to mention to you. Don't give any weight to negative thoughts. In other words, they come, but don't give them any weight. In other words, don't walk under their influence. Don't walk under their influence. This is not a negative thought. Oh, I sinned again. I messed up. That's not a negative thought. That's reality. But at that point, after that thought is recognized, the chances are there's going to be a negative thought that comes. See, you're not so holy. See, you're not a very good Christian. See, you did it again. You're never going to change. You're going to keep messing up. You felt, and all this stuff, and we go, yeah. Instead of saying, you're right, I messed up and I sinned. And as the other thoughts come, you fight with understanding because you've meditated on God and His Word and you know what it says. If I confess, He's faithful to forgive. I've got to continue to be transformed. The Holy Spirit was sent to counsel me and change me. I'm not supposed to cling to the old patterns. This is a process. Oh, I am God's workmanship. And He finishes the work that He starts. It means there's a starting point and there's a finishing point. And in between those two, there is a process that God's walking me through. I just got to continue to listen. I got to continue to respond to Him. And you know what? Him and I are going to be in right relationship. Those are good thoughts. Those are right thoughts. Those are God's thoughts. That's Bible thoughts. So, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe it's verse 33, and he said, bad company corrupts good character. Right before that it says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. So I want to take that principle, not about who you're hanging around with, but what thoughts are you allowing to take up residence here? Because bad thoughts, negative thoughts, old pattern thoughts will corrupt not only our character, it will corrupt, delay, fight against what God has for you. Don't sit back and say, well, if it's God's will and if God wants to do this, then He'll just do this and, I, you know, it's just me. No. You and I have got the responsibility. We have got the responsibility, with the Holy Spirit's help, to discipline our thinking, that we can cooperate in with God, what God wants to do in and through our life. That is our responsibility. When we were a child, we thought like a child. Well, guess what, folks? Most of us in this room are adults. And we're supposed to have faith like a child, but we're not supposed to keep acting childish and immature. It's time for you and I to grow up in our thinking. It's time for us to grow up in our faith and forget the old ways and take on the new ways and allow the Holy Spirit to bring a renewing of our mind, and there's a paradigm shift that lines up with who God is and what His thoughts are and what His ways are in our life. And we will see such a progressive and a perpetual growing as a Christian and fruitfulness in our life. That's what's going to happen. That's what God intends for us. Oh, it doesn't come without opposition. It doesn't come without arresting thoughts. It's okay to walk out and say, why was I acting like that again? Why was that my motivation again? Because if we just keep with those grooves, understand that we are just going to stay the way we are and digress at the same level we digress. Rather than onward, upward, precept upon precept, growing, ever-increasing faith. Your thoughts are very important to God, to your own development, to my own development. Our thoughts are very important. We wonder why things come out of our mouths sometimes. We think, well, where did that come from? That's, you know, that's not me. Hello. That's us. And it's us showed ourselves. Your mind can be renewed in Christ Jesus. And your life, my life, can be different than what it used to be. It's not a mind game. It is about meditating on who He is, what He's like, what He says, how He acted, and coming into agreement with Him. Coming into agreement with Him. So sit at the conference table with Him. Argue with Him. Come, let us reason together, as He says. And come finally into agreement with God. And let all the other stuff go. Well, yeah, that sounds like a really good thought, but I'm still hurt, and I'm still, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where is that getting us? Now I need to let it go. I need to get on with it. Because I was supposed to die to myself anyhow. So, self, shut up. You don't have to talk nice to that self. We need to move on and come into agreement with God. Because He's good. And everything He does is good. He came to rescue us. Including rescuing us from the old way of thinking. So we need to pray and prepare and practice a paradigm shift. The way we think about things and deal with things in life. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you, your parents disciplined you perfectly all the time? I had good parents, but they didn't discipline me perfectly all the time. So there's some things that I have to make sure that I don't repeat. I've got to change my paradigm of parenting. Just one example. All these attributes and aspects of our life. And the biggest one is our faith.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.